Our lesson is going to be on repentance. So keep in mind that what our subject is repentance. And we study many subjects from time to time in the Bible. But I don't know, it's not very often that I hear the subject of repentance studied as a complete subject. And I'm going to give you a scripture to begin with, and then we'll go from there. In Luke, if you would turn there to Luke chapter 13, just a moment, is probably one of the scriptures that you will hear most often when you get on that subject. And so we're going to begin with that with our study. It's chapter 13, and look at verse 2 is the verse I really had in mind. But chapter 13, I'm going to also read verse 1 since it's there, and verse 3. So we'll look at the first verse before it and the verse after. It says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans are sinners above all the Galileans because they suffer such things? I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now here's a subject, so I think we see the, just take that verse, we look at it and we see the very importance of it. There were those who thought the Galileans were more important, were not very as important as they were. And yet Jesus here makes a point, and that is they all, in verse 3, tell you, "Nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So I think we see kind of an importance. Now I'd like to back up a little bit, and let's just go back to Matthew, and let's start out in Matthew early. Let's start out with the preaching of John the Baptist. You remember John began preaching before Jesus, and he had went forth, and that was also in prophecy. If you go back to Isaiah, we see that there was one that was going to start before. But if you go to Matthew chapter 3, we see where John the Baptist begins his preaching. And he was the one that started before Jesus and even baptized Jesus. Now, not for same reason that we see it baptized. He simply done it for the reason that to be an example. Look at verse 1 in chapter 3. And he says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he also goes into a prophecy of the Old Testament of Isaiah. But in that verse 2 here, he says, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, in our study, of course, we know the kingdom of heaven here probably was a reference to the beginning or the church, and it's early as it would begin. And this, we notice then, if you skip to chapter 4, we notice in chapter 4 that Jesus begins his preaching, and noticed what the in his preaching, drop on down to verse 17 in chapter 4. He says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So again, I think we see, if anything, we see that it is very important. It starts with John the Baptist, who was the preacher that was leading up to the church. And then we see Jesus as he begins his ministry. He uses the same thing. So we see we begin to see the very importance of repent. So now then, I want to go to Luke. If you go to Luke chapter 24, which is the last chapter in Luke, we know that Jesus has been crucified on the cross. He's been buried in the tomb. He's been resurrected from that tomb. And as he gets ready to go into heaven, he has his apostles there gathered together. And notice one of the things here in chapter 24. Now, we've studied the other things out of that chapter several times, but I want us to go to verse 46. And I'm going back up to read verse 45 along with it. And said, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, This it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Now we see here Jesus' reference, and Luke records it this a little different than Mark does and Matthew. He's talking about what's going to happen here, and if you notice there in that verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now, Mark and Matthew both include baptism in that. Luke does not use baptism in it, but he does use the word repentance. So we see, without a doubt, I think, the very importance here of repentance is going to be there. It is written. So it was written in the prophecies of old there about what was going to happen, and that repentance was very necessary. Now then, I think we go over to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, as we see in chapter 2, We find here that the apostles stand up in chapter 2. Of course, Jesus in chapter 1 goes back to heaven. And as they begin their ministry, the apostles do, and they begin in chapter 2 on the first day of the week, and we know it was the first day of the week because it was on what the Jews had called and they had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And the Feast of Passover was one of the events that the Jews kept that was actually on the first day of the week. And so we see here that that John stands up to preach. And as he does, we notice in chapter 2, excuse me, I'll get there and read the notice. In chapter 2, as they begin their preaching, and I notice verse 14 in chapter 2, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Galilee, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." So Peter's recorded here along with all of the apostles, but Peter's sermon is the one that is recorded. Now, let's skip on down in it. Let's go on down to verse 36. He says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received the word were baptized the same day, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So what we notice in this here, as he points up what all they had done that was wrong and against God, they finally come to the point they were, it says, pricked in their heart in the King James Version, and they wanted to know what to do. And Peter tells them they were to repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So repentance was taught in the first gospel sermon that was taught, that they were to repent. And I think we see that throughout the Bible then. So let me ask this question as we think about it. Why is repentance necessary? What's the purpose? Well, notice one thing: God requires it. It is required to repent. Now, we have a lot of passages that would tell us that. Turn over to Acts while you're in Acts. Turn over to chapter 17 a minute. In chapter 17, we find the Apostle Paul preaching and teaching at Athens. And he was on Mars Hill. And one of the things you observed was all of the things that they worshiped out there. They even had what they called an unknown God. And he goes over these things, and we're not going to go through his sermon. But let's just drop on down to verse 29 and look especially at verse 30. For as much then as we are the offering of God, offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So when we're thinking about repent, as we see in this sermon here by Paul, that verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And he goes on even a little further as you see this repentance. Look at verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereas he hath given assurance unto all men, if in that he hath raised him from the dead. So what we see then, one of the things we can say about repentance and repent, God requires it. And so we need to understand what repentance is then. I think in here in verse 31, he lays it out. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge all the world in righteousness. So when we talk about repentance, no doubt we're sorry and think about our sins, for we're asking for forgiveness, but we're also looking to the fact we will be judged by righteousness. Repentance is changing from a sinner to serving God, and righteousness is what we're looking for. But it can't come unless we repent from our old sins. Now then, I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter, we have a real subject there. But I want you to notice, let's just start with verse 8, chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, we see, I think, without a doubt, the very importance of repentance. There's going to be one day that you will perish if you have not repented. repentance here, till all should come to repentance, going to be judged. And now he goes ahead in verse 10 and describes it. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace and without spot and blameless. Well, what are we seeing? Again, we must be prepared. And that verse 9, go back and read it again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We see the necessity then, again, of this very thing that we've already looked at. Repentance is so necessary for salvation. So as we think about that, we can see in what we've already read and looked at that in every case, repentance was something that was very much involved. Well, let's just think about it a minute. Let's look. Let's turn over to the book of Romans a second. And let's go first to chapter 2, and then we'll go to chapter 6. Notice in chapter 2 of Romans, look at verse 4. In chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? What? Now, notice what he's saying here. Here he's talking about, well, let's back up and look here. Let's read a couple of verses before that one. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which committeth not such things, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgment judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou should escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after they, thy hardness and impudence of heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. He will render to God, every man, according to his deeds. to them who by patience, continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. You see here again, as you see there in that verse 4, the fact that what is here, these here, talks about God, His forbearance and long-suffering, and not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When we actually come to a place of really understanding the Word of God and what He's teaching and obeying it, it'll lead us to repentance. And that's what we want. We have to repent to be in His number and have a good judgment. Turn over to chapter 6 now. And I know we use chapter 6 so much, and I'm not going to go through all of it. I want you to especially look at verse 23, and then we'll maybe back up and look at some of it. Chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here we see the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, we've already seen that one of the things He has said is that repentance is necessary. And that's what we see here and in other places as well. I don't want to get, my time is going to get away from us, but let's think about it here just for a little bit. Example of the New Testament. What do we have as an example of a New Testament of those who repented? Well, I think without a doubt one would be the prodigal son. If we would turn to, Luke, maybe chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15. And you all remember the story, of course. And we notice in verse 11, it starts in verse 11 and it goes all the way through the rest of the chapter. And what we see is a certain man had two sons. And what we see that one took his substance and left, verse 13. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now get that. Riotous living. And when he had spent it all, and arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. So we see here then that he was in want. But what we find also is that the end comes and he repented and he goes back home. He repented. So he would be one example, if you read that entire section, of one who repented. All right, let's just think in terms of what we've seen in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. We see that there were Jews on that Pentecost that repented Let's go back to chapter 2 of Acts a moment. And we see, we read there in Acts chapter 2, where they wanted to know what to do in verse 37. And they were told in verse 38, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they were told to repent, and we notice from verse 41, and they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So there was another example of those who repented and did as they were told. They repented and were baptized. And we see again that another passage, Paul, in writing to the Colossians, you might turn to 2 Colossians a minute. There is an example there. 2 Colossians chapter 7. In chapter 7, let's look here. At verse 8, 9, and 10. He says, for though I made you sorrow after a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorrow, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So here we see that their repentance led them to repentance to salvation. So it was necessary then for them to repent, to go to salvation. And we have that example. Now, there is one of the Psalms that we're not going to go read it, but write it down. I want you to read it when you go home. Psalms 51, and it deals with repentance. Another place that we ought to probably read is in 2 Samuel. Chapter 12 and verse 13. Another place would be in Jonah. We've been studying some out of Jonah. Chapter 3 and verse 4. We see repentance where it leads to our salvation. So if we're going to be saved, we must repent of our sins. Repentance is a change of mind, a change that change will be for leaving sin and going to righteousness and living as God wants us to live. It's that change we're to make it. And sometimes we as Christians need to repent and change too. Let me give you a verse or two on that. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. It says, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." So here he's talking to Christians that they are to repent and be changed their life again. So it's necessary as erring Christians. I think go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Look at verse 16. "But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not; to him it is sin." So we need to pray that he'll forgive us of our sins. Look at verse 15 in chapter 5. "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So there are times when we, as Christians, sin, and we need again to pray for forgiveness. So repentance is such an important subject. We have always talked about baptism being a very important subject. We talk about faith being an important subject. But think, repentance is also an important subject if we're going to be saved. And that means that we're have a change of from sin to serving God to righteousness. And it's making that distinction, and God wants us to make it. If you're not a Christian, we can, and not been baptized, if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and are willing to repent and change your life and be baptized, we can help you do that. If you're a Christian and have sinned and need to repent and come back and pray for forgiveness, we're here to help you do that. Would you come as we stand and sing?